Chapter 3. Feeling awkward. Nobody said much at dinner. When Martin finished eating, he got up silently and went into the living room. After he had left, Mum put her fork down and looked at her daughter. "Why was your bedroom door shut earlier?" she asked.
"I'm allowed some privacy, aren't I?" replied Cara angrily.
"Of course you are, but..."
"But what?" said Cara. "Are you worried I'm going to do something stupid again?"
"No, of course not," said Mum. There was an awkward silence. "That's a funny word," Cara thought suddenly. "Awkward. It sounds awkward. It looks awkward." Cara looked across at the alphabet letters that were stuck to the fridge. She imagined the letters of the word moving awkwardly on the fridge door, changing position, spelling the word awkward. Then she imagined four of the letters from the word moved again. This time, they spelt her name.
"Cara!" Martin was calling her from the living room. "Cara, there's no TV!"
Cara stared angrily at her mother. "Mum," she said, "is there really no TV?"
"I wanted to find somewhere quiet to go on holiday," replied Mum. "Somewhere we could spend some time together."
Cara left the kitchen still angry and went through to the living room. It was a long room with large leather armchairs and sofas grouped around a fireplace.
"What are you doing, Martin?" Cara asked. Martin was kneeling down and putting pieces of newspaper in the fireplace. His eyes were bright with excitement.
"Look, Cara, I'm making a fire," he said.
"Come and help me."
"I don't think we should make a fire, Martin," Cara replied. "Mum will be very angry." But Martin wasn't listening. He was concentrating on building his fire. He put more pieces of newspaper in the fireplace and then took a box of matches from a small table.
"Are you ready, Cara?" he said.
Then Martin took a match from the box and lit it.
"Martin, don't!" Cara shouted.
She ran to the fireplace and took the match from Martin's hand before he could light the fire. Mum heard Cara shouting and she came quickly from the kitchen.
"What's going on?" Mum asked.
"She started it,"
Martin shouted, pointing at Cara.
"It was Martin," Cara said.
Mum looked at Cara.
"You're tired, Cara. Go to bed," she said calmly.
"But Mum," said Cara.
"I said, go to bed," said Mum.
Cara walked out of the room and quickly went upstairs and into her bedroom, closing the door behind her. She stood next to the door and listened. For a few minutes, she could not hear anything. Then she heard Martin running up the stairs and down the corridor. He went past Cara's door and straight into his own room. After that, there was silence. Cara sat down at the desk and turned on the laptop. She logged onto the Owl Hall site and clicked on the blog section. A message invited her to start a blog and keep a record of her stay. At the top of the page, there was a title, Day 1. She stared at the words for about a minute, thinking about what to write. Then suddenly, the words rushed into her head. When Cara went downstairs for breakfast the next morning, Mum was sitting at the table, reading a magazine. Cara drank some fruit juice and watched her mother. When Mum had first talked about this holiday,
Kara thought that she wanted to talk about the incident.
Mum did not want to talk about it at home, so Kara thought her plan had been to take Kara and Martin away to a place where talking would be easier. Kara hoped there would be long conversations about what had happened and how they could help each other, but now Kara was not so sure. Mum and Kara were alone in the kitchen, and it was the perfect moment to start talking. Mum did not seem to want to talk about the incident. She wanted to talk about the weather, about how well she had slept, and about breakfast cereals. Mum did not like talking about problems. Dad had been the opposite. Dad always said that a problem could not be fixed until everyone sat down and talked about it. Then they could find a solution that they were all happy with. But Mum did not agree with him, and she did not want to sit down and talk. There had been a lot of arguments before Dad left to go to Australia.
"Can I go out?" Kara asked.
"All right, but don't go too far," Mum replied. Martin was in the bathroom having a shower. Kara knocked on the door and told him she was going to explore outside. He said he would come out in a minute. Then Kara put on a jacket and picked up her phone. There was still no signal, but as she was looking at the phone, Kara had an idea. She could use its camera to make a video of Owl Hall. She turned the phone onto video and started filming as she walked out of her room and along the corridor towards the stairs.
"Awkward Productions presents," she said in her worst American accent, "Owl Hall the Movie, directed by Kara."
She imagined herself making a real film as she moved the phone around her, exploring the floor, the walls, the doors.
"This is Mum's bedroom. She has the biggest bedroom, of course. And now we're going downstairs and out the front door, into the courtyard of Owl Hall."
Kara filmed the courtyard and the pond with the strange silver sphere in the middle. Through the windows on one side of the courtyard, she could see the gym that she had read about in the welcome pack. Kara's video tour continued outside the courtyard in the driveway. She filmed the Owl Hall sign they had seen in the darkness when they had arrived the night before. Then she walked to the far end of the building and filmed two of the holiday cottages next to the main house. The cottages looked empty. After that, she walked to the other side of the house, past the window of the third small cottage. She looked in the window but could not see anything. Behind the main building there was a large open field with trees at the end. Kara held her phone camera up to film the trees. She wanted to record the sound of the leaves moving in the wind.
"And over there," she said, "there's a—"
Kara moved the phone camera towards where some trees and bushes were hiding a large old barn. As Kara began to film the barn, she thought she saw someone moving in the bushes. But as she was going to get a closer look, Martin suddenly appeared and jumped on her. He pulled her to the ground and knocked the phone from her hand. Kara pulled herself free and looked over at the barn just in time to see a figure running into the trees at the end of the field.
"What is it, Kara?" said Martin, laughing. "Why do you look so frightened? Have you seen a ghost?"